For those following in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1902. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Our second reading this morning is from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot contain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Hear these words that Brad was kind enough to prepare for me. This psalm, when we read it closely, can draw out of us something between a confession of our own shortcomings and a confession of faith, or, more likely, a response that encompasses both a confession of weakness and a confession of faith. Fortunately, for all of us, did that die? Oh, okay. Fortunately for all of us, a confession of weakness and a confession of faith are not mutually exclusive. It is possible, if we don't grasp either too tightly, to hold both our weakness and our trust that God is with us at the same time. In fact, it is best if we do. We are who we are, but we are also the children of the one who is love. And so we need to be honest about the first, that we have a shadow side, and trusting of the second, that God's love shines into our darkness, telling a deeper truth about us. To hold these two sides of ourselves together, it might help to start with the words from John's letter. Beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. To say that God is love goes well beyond what we usually say, that God is loving, for instance, or that God loves me. Both of those are true, but there is something even truer. Because love isn't what God does, John tells us. Love is what God is. And this means, you see, that whenever or wherever or however the mystery of the Holy comes to us, it comes to us only and always as love. God is not love and judgment, for instance. God is not love and condemnation. God is just love, who only and always comes as love, and only and always speaks love, only and always breathes love. As Walter Cronkite used to say, that is the way it is. We started with these words from John because it seems that this image of God as love only and always, is the key that opens the psalm that we read this morning. The person who wrote this psalm was saying in poetry what John would say hundreds of years later. Look here, for instance. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, if I am blown to the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me safe. It's like you just can't get away from this guy. And you can't. You can ascend to heaven or fall into the grave. You can take the wings of the morning and fly to the ends of the earth. God will be waiting for you. There is no place where you can hide, because there is no need to hide. When you're being pursued, it really matters, don't you see, who is doing the pursuing? If you see God as a vindictive, condemning judge, being chased down is not good news. You'll run to the end of your life living in constant fear. In the end, you will get caught anyway. But if you hold to this image of God as love, love that will never give up on you, never condemn you, will always hold you close, always lead you to safety, well, that's something quite different, isn't it? Again, in the words of the psalmist, if I say, surely darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. When we open our eyes these days, we see how dark it is. We live on a planet that is burning up, in a society bent on self-destruction, where some of our business leaders and politicians are more than willing to sacrifice your lives to their wealth and power. It is hard to be an optimist these days. Open your eyes to the world, and it seems inevitable that we, and especially our children and grandchildren, are in for some tough times ahead. It is hard to be an optimist, but we can choose to be hopeful. Optimism is a feeling that some can muster better than others, but hope is a choice we make. To hope is to stand against darkness. To hope is to believe that doing what is right is eternally worthwhile, no matter how things turn out. To hope, you see, is to trust, as the psalm says, that God can see in the dark. But hope doesn't come easily or all the time. True, the darkness is not dark to God, but it is dark to us. Sometimes the lights go out, and the darkness seems to go on and on. But here's the thing. We can't see in the dark, but we can trust in the dark. We can trust that because God is love and love can see in the dark, love will find us, or better, we can trust whatever we feel that love has never lost us. That too is the way it is. And a society, a congregation for instance, held in love and choosing hope can help build a world shaped by love. This is another gift of hope unwrapped in the hopefulness of the psalm. We can turn on the light. We don't have to live in darkness one day longer. Our politics don't have to be poisonous, and our neighbors don't have to be our enemies. We do not have to stay in the darkness. Martin Luther King Jr. said this with far greater eloquence, and I quote him, "Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Martin Luther King, 1963. The love God is lived out in hope, in the certainty that love is worth living out, regardless how it turns out. This is the way out of darkness. Now, don't get this wrong. This is not saying that returning love for hate is easy. It isn't. It may, in fact, be the costliest, deadliest thing you will ever do. But refusing hate and insisting on love is the only way out of our present darkness. This was the message of Martin Luther King's life. It was the message of Jesus' life as well. Only light can drive out darkness. Only love can drive out hate. And we who are followers of Jesus, who have experienced the love God is, are made bold enough to imagine living out this love, even in these crazy, strange times. The closing four lines of the psalm brings everything home. Here the poet makes a rather grand confession of his ignorance and helplessness. "The creation is far too wonderful," he says, "far too complex and mysterious for him to ever grasp or understand." "Wonderful are your works," he says, "that I know well." He knows wonder. Everything else is beyond him. But wonder and mystery bring him here to the majesty of creation, the mystery of the divine, and a confession of hope. And from the psalm, "How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, they are more than the sand. I come to the end, I am still with you." In other words, trying to make sense of you, O God, is harder than counting every grain of sand on the seashore. We could do that, but when we came to the end of counting, there would be infinitely more. So at my end, I give up. I give up, but thanks be to God, when we are done and done in, we are still with you. Amen.